Hi everyone, Renee Powers here. I am the founder of Feminist Book Club, and last year I did a roundup of my top reads of 2019, and I thought, hey, let's do it again. So here we are. This is a very casual, very less edited version of the Feminist Book Club podcast, and I'm just going to walk through what shook out to be 10 books. I didn't put any limits on how many I was going to choose, but we've got a nice round number here of the 10 books that came out in 2020, with one like technical exception, but like, for all intents and purposes, we'll get there. And then I've got a bunch of honorable mentions of books that did not come out in 2020, but I read them in 2020. So here is a list of my top 10 books of 2020. It was a shit year, but we got some excellent, excellent storytelling this year. I am looking at my list. I've got, let's see, I read 105 books this year so far. I mean, we are recording on the 16th of December, and I do anticipate reading a couple of more books this year, namely our book of the month, which is Kindred by Octavia Butler, and a couple more, but I'm doing a review of the top 10 books of the 105 that I have read up till now. And the first one is my technicality. All right, so in no order except the order that I read them in. The first book on my top 10 list of 2020 is Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reid. And this is the technicality because the publication date is December 31st, 2019. What the hell, publisher? Who published this? Hang on. I'm gonna roast you real quick. Bloomsbury. Oh, come on, Bloomsbury. Listen, you do great work. You send me books all the time. I appreciate it deeply. But why did you give her a publication date of December 31st, 2019? That means that we all have to caveat our 2020 list with, is Such a Fun Age eligible to be on our 2020 list? And I've come down on, yes, absolutely, because it's my list and I do what I want. I loved this book. I think it's a very of-the-moment book. It's very cinematic. I'm looking forward to seeing this done on screen. I think I read somewhere that the rights have been picked up by somebody, and so we will be getting some kind of adaptation of it in the future. It's so weird to think about a time before COVID, but this was before COVID. This was before the re-emergence of the Black Lives Matter movement as we know it now in this iteration, but it does center at the very beginning a young Black woman being recorded getting kicked out of a grocery store, and so for, you know, taking care of her white child she babysits for. It is so gripping. It is so it moves along so quickly. There are twists and turns. I found it incredibly satisfying, and I kicked off my year with this. I read this on January 6th and really, really loved it. And it has sat with me all year. And I knew from the start that this was going to end up on my final list. The hype is real. And I cannot wait to see this adaptation. If you haven't read it, I strongly recommend all of these books, but this is definitely one to bump up to the near the top of your TBR. I think you will find it incredibly satisfying. So that was Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reid. Now, the next book, if you know me, I've recommended this book to literally everyone. The next book on my list is We Ride Upon Styx by Quan Berry. This came out in March from Pantheon Books, and this was such a delight to sit down and read. I had a review copy. I ended up purchasing a hardcover so I could have it on my bookshelf because, A, the cover art's beautiful. But it is so good. I mean, it rekindled this kind of delight in reading that I remember sitting down in my bed, like going to bed early so I could sit down on my bed and like dig into this book and see what happens next. I've described it as if Now and Then, Pretty in Pink, and Practical Magic all had a baby that grew up to play field hockey, it would be this book. It is set in the 80s. It is a group of high school field hockey players in Danvers, Connecticut, which is technically where the Salem witch trials happened. And they are kind of infused with this witchcraft spirit. They start to write their wishes and spells in an Emilio Estevez notebook because it was the 80s. And then they start seeing some of their kind of witches or witchy wishes come true. And I just, it was just such a delight. The pagan in me really enjoyed a lot of the ritual and the, is it magic or is it just coincidence of it all? And even if you're not into sports, I think you will get a kick out of this book. Again, We Write Upon Styx by Quan Berry. It might be my top book of 2020, honestly. I've recommended it to everybody. It is laugh out loud funny, but like dark funny. And I just adore this book. It is the perfect book for me. So, oh, I'm sorry. And that was Danvers, Massachusetts, not Danvers, Connecticut. I don't know what I was thinking. But We Write Upon Styx by Quan Berry. Top book. All right. The next book on my list is How Much of These Hills Is Gold by C. Pam Zhang from Riverhead Books. This came out in April. Again, one of those books that I was excited to sit back down and read. I just had a review copy of this. I wasn't reading it for any like reason. You know, the author wasn't going to be on the podcast. I just saw the cover, thought it looked beautiful, had a copy on my Kindle and thought, oh, this could be interesting. And I was blown away by this book. Honestly, it's set in the Gold Rush time period, or just after the Gold Rush in the, you know, wild, wild west of the United States. And it centers two children who are the children of Chinese immigrants, question mark. I mean, we kind of get their background, but it's two immigrant children whose parents have passed in the frontier and trying to figure out how to make it, how to survive, how to kind of grow up and come into your own, and who you are, especially when you're orphaned, and where you come from, especially when you look different than anyone else and you don't really know your family history or your family origin. It is so interesting and so well done and well crafted and unlike anything I've ever read. And so that's maybe the novelty of it is what made an impression on me. But also, I just found myself wanting to go back to this book as soon as possible. And as for someone who reads as much as I do, sometimes reading feels like a chore. And so I'm always struck by books that feel like joy rather than a chore. And How Much of These Hills Is Gold by C. Pam Zhang is absolutely one of those delightful books that I enjoyed reading immensely and have recommended to so many people. The next book, I think we're at number 4. is Fairest, a memoir by Meredith Tolusen. And this came out in May of this year from Viking. And Meredith is such a joy to talk to. She was on the podcast. This is her memoir of growing up as an albino Filipino boy and moving to the United States as a teenager, transitioning in her and later in life, in her, I think, mid to late 20s. This is truly intersectional feminism in that we're talking about race, we're talking about passing, we're talking about gender, we're talking about the constructions of all of them, and how Meredith has kind of navigated those different paths in her life over many, many years, and how she's kind of reluctant to claim a lot of identities, even though those identities may be quote-unquote true. I found this so well done and such a nuanced perspective of identity politics and what it means to be a woman living in the world. I think her perspective is so unique, and we can learn so much about race and gender and sexuality in particular reading this book. And it's not one of those like super fun reads because it's difficult. I mean, grappling with these huge themes, especially for feminists, is really difficult to do. And so it can be difficult to read, but it is like a nice, juicy, healthy meal in that when you're done, you are totally satisfied and you are so glad that you have read it. It may not be a burrito, but it's like a lettuce wrap that is the tastiest lettuce wrap, if that makes any sense at all. So that was Fairest, a memoir by Meredith Tolusen. Number five. We're already at the halfway mark. Number five on my best of 2020 list. You Should See Me in a Crown by Leah Johnson. This came out June from Scholastic, and Leah was on the podcast. Honestly, like one of my favorite people in the world. Cannot wait to read her next one. You Should See Me in a Crown is a young adult contemporary book about Liz Lighty, I believe is the protagonist's name. Obviously, I don't remember. I remember her and I don't remember like 95% of the main characters' full names. But Liz sat with me because we all knew a Liz, or we all were a Liz, just kind of a band nerd, just kind of a wallflower, underestimated, and decides that she's going to run for, I think it's homecoming court, because there is a scholarship attached to it, and she's not able to go to the college she wants to go to unless she gets a major scholarship. Should be noted that Liz is Black in a majority white Indiana high school. She is queer in a majority heterosexual Indiana high school. And as someone who grew up in one of those suburban Indiana high schools, the scene, the setting was so familiar to me. And Leah, the author, is from Indiana as well. And so we bonded over our Hoosier roots, and she makes some references to very Indiana-specific things that I just adored. She was so fun to talk to. But You Should See Me in the Crown is, yes, the title is based on the Billie Eilish song, so you're welcome for getting that stuck in your head. It is just, again, a delight to read. One of those warm, fuzzy stories with a happy ending that if you need a palate cleanser, this is an excellent one. And one of the things I loved about this book is it is about queer joy. And Leah even mentions that there's not a whole lot of romance or YA romance or even just love stories about queer Black women. And this centers a queer Black teenager at its core, and you're rooting for her every step of the way, her and her family and her relationships. I thought this was so darling. And again, I'm looking forward to seeing what's next. I saw a cover reveal for Leah's next book, and I can't wait for it. So that was You Should See Me in a Crown by Leah Johnson. Another buzzy book that I think deserves all of the buzz, number six on my list, is The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. This was out in June from Riverhead Books. I didn't read The Mothers by Britt Bennett, her first book, and so I had heard really good things about it. And so I was excited to dive into The Vanishing Half because of all of the kind of hype around Britt Bennett's writing. And I was not disappointed. Also, I believe I heard about this. I had this on my radar really early. I believe Tracy Thomas, whom you know I love from the Stax podcast, had a really early copy of this book. And she was excited for it. I think like late 2019, that this is one of her like most anticipated reads of 2020. And she described it the way she described it. I was like, well, it's now one of my most anticipated reads of 2020. And I was so lucky to get a review copy of it. And the premise is a set of twins, light skinned Black twins in the South, grow up, go separate ways. One passes as white, one embraces Blackness and marries the darkest man that she can find, and has a very dark child, returns back to their hometown that is very segregated in that it's all Black, but only light-skinned Black folks are accepted or embraced. And her daughter, who is very dark-skinned, is very much an outcast in this city or this town. Follows these sisters, follows their children. Things kind of come full circle in the end, and we get to see how it all shakes out. It spans several decades. You know I love a multi-generational family novel. And this is one of those that scratched every itch I was hoping it would. And Britt Bennett's writing definitely lives up to the hype. This book, again, very buzzy, but very worth it. I loved it. Would love to see an adaptation of this one. There were some moments you had to kind of suspend your disbelief and just go with it. Just trust the author that These coincidences could happen, but honestly, real life is stranger than fiction, so whenever an author wants to take me somewhere, I am game to go. And so I went with Brit, and in the end, totally worth it, a 5-star read this year. That was The Vanishing Half by Brit Bennett. All right, we're down to the back three of 2020. And I'm excited to say two of the three were actually our books of the month. So, including this one, The Year of the Witching by Alexis Henderson. This came out from Ace Books in July of this year. It was our October book of the month. Does that sound right? It was one of our books of the month. And we had the joy of, I had the joy of talking with Alexis for the podcast, and she joined us for our book club discussion, which was such a treat. She's so great. It's so fun to share the authors with our members. And I loved Alexis's insight. Now, this is billed as, I don't know if it's billed as thriller or horror or spooky. Yeah, it's a little bit of all of those things, but it's also a lot of bit literary. This was pitched to me as The Handmaid's Tale meets the Salem Witch Trials. You know, I'm always here for witches. Let's be real. We're following this kind of cultish sect of Christianity, maybe? I don't know. But a very kind of traditional patriarchal religion at its core. We're following a mixed race girl. She's the only one in this sect of this religion because her mother had an affair with an outsider. And then her mother was kind of banished to these spooky woods and died. The main character, the daughter, goes into the woods, discovers witches. And it doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. And that's what I thought was so great about it, is the good versus evil is dicey. It's not a good versus evil book, really. It's a every person for themselves book. And it kind of flips a lot of what I expected a feminist novel to do on its head. And it still maintains, you know, its feminist novel stamp, I think. The writing is lush. I love Alexis's writing. Cannot wait to see what she does next. And the characters are so well-rounded and deeply flawed and deeply relatable. Perfection. Loved this book. The Year of the Witching by Alexis Henderson. Number 8. Oof. One of those that broke my heart, was tough to read, but so glad I read it. After the Last Border, Two Families and the Story of Refuge in America by Jessica Godeau. This came out of in August of this year from Viking, and wow. This is the story of two refugees, one from Southeast Asia, one from Syria, come to the United States as refugees on the refugee resettlement program. And they have very different experiences, both incredibly difficult, but one much more difficult than the other. These are true stories. Jessica Godeau worked extensively with these two women at the core of both stories, is very friendly with one of the Muna, the refugee from Southeast Asia. And she became very close with Hasna, the refugee from Syria, through a translator. And the way that the author tells these stories and intersperses it with the history of refugee policy and resettlement policy in the United States is fucking fascinating and infuriating. It's one of those books that changes the way I look at refugee policy. It makes me want to get really involved. It makes me get really angry about the ways that our country, under all administrations, have turned our back. This country has turned our back on refugees when we are supposed to be a safe environment for everyone, everybody who's been persecuted. And so this book infuriates me in the best way. It is incredibly readable. I mean, even though it is nonfiction, it reads narratively, interspersed with these kind of historical documents of how we got to where we are in terms of our refugee policy. If you're interested in immigration, if you're interested in resettlement, if you're interested in, I don't know, fellow humans, this book is a must read. That is called After the Last Border, Two Families and the Story of Refuge in America by Jessica Godeau. She is a white woman telling stories of women of color. She does it with a lot of humility, a lot of acknowledgement of her own privilege. We talk about it in an interview, which I will link. If I've got interviews for these authors, I will link them in the show notes. She has so much respect for these women's stories, and she handles them with so much care and compassion. And so I just wanted to give that a caveat that this is not an own voices book, but a great example of how to respectfully tell the story of others when you are a privilege, when you come from a place of privilege. Okay, rounding out my top 10 is Hurricane Season by Fernanda Melchor. This came out in English March of this year from New Directions Press. It is translated from Spanish. It was the first translated book that we chose for our book of the month, which is super exciting. Fernanda Melchor is Mexican, and this book was inspired by a small story she read in her local newspaper about the death of kind of an outcasted woman in a small town in Mexico. And this book is unlike any reading experience I have ever had. It's one of those that, and this is why it's in my top 10, is it's not that it was an enjoyable read, but the reading experience was so unique and so gripping that it's compulsively readable in just its style. A lot of long-winded sentences, a lot of kind of clauses and commas that propel this story forward. At its heart is this witch, again, always here for a witch, in this small town who is outcasted for a number of reasons and feared for a number of reasons. Most of them are patriarchy. And I mean, this book is hard to explain. It tells stories of different people in this small town and how they kind of intersect with her story and one another. And this town is just ravaged by abuse and misogyny and drugs and addiction and just violence. And maybe the witch is the eye of the hurricane. I mean, this book drips with metaphor. And what the author has done so brilliantly is kind of puts her hooks into you and won't let you go, doesn't let you breathe as you read this book. It is not an easy book to read. It is incredibly violent. It is incredibly grotesque. And yet you cannot look away. I found it fascinating. I found it wild. It is one of the most unique reading experiences I have ever had. And I didn't enjoy the reading experience, but I'm glad I had it because it shows me what a book can be, what literature can do for us and to us. And I think it is a masterpiece. And the fact that it didn't win a National Book Award, I think, is a travesty because it is excellent. So that was Hurricane Season by Fernanda Melchor. Content and trigger warnings for everything. Violence against children, violence against animals, rape, abuse, all of it. Violence against everybody. But if those are things that you can handle, this is a must-read book. So that was Hurricane Season, again, by Fernanda Melchor. Okay. Now, I have some honorable mentions, a bunch of honorable mentions, and these are books that were not published in 2020, but I read them in 2020, and I just wanted to give them all a shout out. The first is Two Old Women, An Alaska Legend of Betrayal, Courage, and Survival by Velma Wallace. I read it last month. You heard it in my November roundup. It's a short little book. I think it would be great for high school students. I loved this, about two Indigenous Alaskan women that are kind of left to die, but end up surviving. And it's fascinating. It's so good. Two Old Women by Velma Wallace. Another one that I loved is No Visible Bruises, What We Don't Know About Domestic Violence Can Kill Us by Rachel Louise Snyder. This came out in 2019. It is about domestic violence. It's about intimate partner violence and how intimate homicide from intimate partner violence is not only preventable, it's predictable. And Rachel Louise Snyder she walks us through some tools and strategies that some police departments and county departments and county health systems have implemented to combat and prevent domestic violence and ultimately homicide from intimate partner violence. It's fascinating. I talked to Rachel Louise Snyder for the podcast. It is a great interview, if I say so myself, and definitely worth picking up if you are a nonfiction reader. Also, if you're a nonfiction reader, it comes as no surprise. I loved the book Word Slut. Word Slut, A Feminist Guide to Taking Back the English Language by Amanda Montell. Amanda was on the podcast as well. I am just one of her biggest fans. Cannot wait to read her cult book that is coming out. But Word Slut sounds like it's about feminist sociolinguistics, which sounds like super boring, but she is so funny and she breaks things down so well. If anyone has ever told you you have vocal fry or you say like too much or you talk like a valley girl, she will tell you. She will give you all the tools to tell them to politely shove it and why. And that's what Word Slut does. And I loved it so much that I bought the merch. I have a Word Slut sweatshirt now that I'm really excited about. Another book that I read this year, this came out in 2014, Just Mercy, A Story of Justice and Redemption by Bryan Stevenson. Again, I mean, this is not news to anybody, but this book is fascinating and so good. Bryan Stevenson is an attorney who fights for people on death row. And Just Mercy is about one person in particular that he ends up fighting for, but also just the death sentence generally and death row and people on death row. If you love really gripping, really interesting nonfiction and who haven't picked this up yet, what are you doing? I know there is an adaptation starring Michael B. Jordan, and how can you not love Michael B. Jordan? I don't know how I haven't watched it yet, but I intend to. But this book is, if you have a heart, you must read it. It is, again, Just Mercy, A Story of Redemption, A Story of Justice and Redemption. Man, almost all of these are nonfiction. I love nonfiction, in case that wasn't clear. The next one on my honorable mentions was Catch and Kill by Ronan Farrow. Again, this came out in 2019. It's about the breaking of the Harvey Weinstein story, and in particular, how the news media wanted to cover it up. This is how powerful men get away with things, and Ronan Farrow was just a squeaky wheel. And this isn't the story of Harvey Weinstein necessarily. This is the story of, again, how the media covered up Harvey Weinstein and how they were complicit in what he did. And Ronan Farrow pulls back the curtain in this book, and it is excellent. Catch and Kill. Another one on my list, another nonfiction. This came out, this like barely missed the mark. This came out November of last year, November of 2019. The Witches Are Coming by Lindy West. Oh my goodness. We read Shrill by Lindy West as one of our books of the month in, I think, 2018. Or maybe early 2019, doesn't matter. And it was good. It was fine. I watched some of the TV show. It was good. It was fine. It was enjoyable. I get it. Whatever. The Witches Are Coming, though, fantastic. I absolutely loved it. I think it is 100 times better than Shrill. I think that Lindy West crawled up into my brain and just, I don't know, like wrote down the weird thoughts in there. And I do have Shit Actually, which is her next book, sitting on my TBR stack that I cannot wait to get to. I just haven't gotten to it yet. And so if The Witches Were Coming are so good, I anticipate Shit Actually will be even better, because it is about specifically pop culture. And those were my favorite chapters of The Witches Are Coming. It is a collection of essays. And I just think Lindy's brain is brilliant, and definitely recommend this one. And what else? We've got Bad Blood, another nonfiction kind of long form journalism, investigative journalism. Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies and a Silicon Valley Startup by John Carreyrou. Carreyrou, can never say his name. This is about the Theranos scandal. This came out in 2018, and Elizabeth Holmes at its center. And she's back in the news because I think she was sentenced, or I don't know. I should probably look that up, but she's a con artist. She's a con artist who was pretending to be Steve Jobs, essentially, in like biomedical technology, and conned everyone out of billions of dollars. And it is fascinating how she did it. And this book takes, the first half of it is like, here's what happened, and here's how Elizabeth Holmes did it. And then, like, the second half of the book is like, and here how I'm implicated. The author inserts himself into this story. And I just found it so well done and so fascinating. And I love a good con artist story. And this one is perfection. Well done. Bad Blood, Secrets and Lies in a Silicon Valley Startup. Loved it. A book that came out in 2017 that got a ton of buzz that I picked up this year was The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid. Literally everyone had recommended this to me, and it's great. It is ostensibly about the seven husbands of this woman, but it's a true story. Not a true story. At its core, a queer love story, which is perfection. Magnificent. And, if you love kind of the golden age of Hollywood and a kind of Grace Kelly, Marilyn Monroe type at its center, at its core, it is glamorous, it is sexy, it is funny. And again, I love a good flawed main character, and Evelyn Hugo is deeply flawed, and I love everything about her. Just a good, like, feel-good, satisfying read. Again, The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. If you haven't read it, by Taylor Jenkins Reid, pick it up. It is so worth it. And finally, the last book on my honorable mentions was our January book of the month, which was The Girl Who Smiled Beads by Clementine Wamaria. And this is going back to, you know, refugee resettlement. Clementine Wamaria was a Rwandan refugee who ended up on the Oprah show, and this tells her story of resettling in Chicago and beyond, and kind of the struggles and lessons and frustrations of what it was like being a refugee in Africa and then resettling here in the United States. It is so well done and so beautifully rendered. A fairly quick read, but not an easy read, if that makes sense, because there's a lot of tough shit that she goes through, but she maintains a positivity and gratitude that I don't think I could do in her shoes. And it's so humbling, really, to read. So that was The Girl Who Smiled Beads by Clementine Wamaria. So those are my top books of 2020, published in 2020, read in 2020. You got a little bit of both. I'm really excited for 2021. I've got books coming in already that will be published next year. And I think that it's going to be a really great year, really interesting year for book publishing. I hope that the Black Lives Matter movement is really pushing the publishing machinery into a more representative industry. I would love to see that. And we hope to represent that on our show, continue to represent that on our show as well. You can look for, do you want to sneak peek of what's to come? You will hear interviews in the near future from Maika Mulit and Maritza Mulit, authors of One of the Good Ones. We've got Koa Beck, who will be on talking about white feminism. We possibly have Rachel Ricketts coming. KJ Delantonia will join us to talk about her new book, The Chicken Sisters. Ariella Elevic, a graphic artist, will join us. It will be a really excellent year, and I'm excited to share it with you. If you have suggestions for what books we should cover, what kinds of content you would like to see on the podcast in 2021, we are all ears. And if you haven't had a chance to join the Feminist Book Club, here is your plug. Our January theme is courage, and we will be reading Difficult Women by Roxane Gay. And there is a very, very, very strong chance Roxane Gay herself will be gracing us with her presence at the end of the month. So if that piques your interest, head on over to feministbookclub.com/shop or click the join button at the top of the page, and you will be shown all of the ways that you can join our book club. You can join just the book club, just the virtual membership, gets you access to our chats, to our Facebook group, to our Slack workspace, to our emails. The book only is exactly what it sounds like. The book only level gives you just the book and a little message from us every month, shipped directly to you. And then the premier subscription box. It is our signature offering. We pair our book of the month with unique and high quality products from woman, queer, and minority owned businesses. No matter which level you choose, 5% of your purchase will go to a feminist organization. In January, we are spotlighting Rights for Girls, which is an organization that supports and prevents child sex and human trafficking, because January is Sex and Human Trafficking Awareness Month. So we are supporting that organization. 5% of your total purchase, that's total purchase, that's total revenue. We donated $10,000, more than $10,000 in 2020, and can't wait to donate more than that because we donate total revenue, not total profit. So your money always does good in this world, and we are so proud that $10,000 went back to feminist organizations this year. Can't wait to be at the end of 2021 and calculate how much we've donated. So again, feministbookclub.com, click join at the top or head over to the shop and shop all of our offerings. We should have some holiday bundles in there still. It's probably too late to get it before Christmas, but we're going to keep them up until they sell out, and we're getting pretty low. So if you are interested in those, if you didn't get one for your holiday celebration and you would like one, treat yourself. So I will see you on the other side of the year. We are off air until January 7th. So take care, everyone. Enjoy the new year. Enjoy just waking up January 1st and it's not 2020 anymore. I mean, I'm going to relish that, and I hope you do too. Take care of yourselves. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Stay 6 feet apart. Get that vaccine as fast as you can when it becomes available to you. And from our Feminist Book Club team and family to you, we wish you the very best this year. Take care.
Thanks for listening to today's show. As always, a rating and review in the podcast app of your choice goes a long way in supporting feminist media. We'd love to have you join the Feminist Book Club subscription box, a community-driven subscription box which features a book of the month and products from women and queer-owned businesses delivered directly to your doorstep. This is an easy way to vote with your dollars, as you'll be supporting this podcast, small women and queer-owned businesses, and the charity beneficiary of the month, which receives 5% of total sales. Use code PODCAST for a discount on any subscription package. Learn more about the box and get the show notes for today's episode at feministbookclub.com. See you next time.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature. Oh. A well-